G'day, Barry here. Thanks for downloading another Dead Set Legends podcast with Bernie D and Damian Martin.
This week, we caught up with Rodney Hogg, who's keeping an eye on the Australians at the Cricket World Cup.
We spoke to Andrew Gaze, who thinks the National Basketball League should shut down for a season.
And had a chat to Chris McKenzie live from the Australian Formula One Grand Prix in Melbourne. We're going to speak to Rodney Hogg, who's a former fast bowler for Australia and an all-round good guy. And I reckon he'd be enjoying it, though. Hoggy, welcome to the show, mate.
You're talking the wrong bloke if you want to say it's going on and on and on. I'm loving it, loving the big bat, bashing everybody around, and it's been sensational. But as you say, it now gets into the real nitty-gritty, and I think the right teams are going to get through.
Yeah, what about the Poms being eliminated? I reckon you would have been pretty happy about that.
Look, from a cricket lover, I'm not, because we need English cricket to be strong. Obviously, we want to get the Ashes back. But when I looked at that English team, I tried to think, is there one player in that English team could get into our team? And there's none. None of those players. I mean, Anderson's a superstar with a Red Bull, but nobody in that English team would get into our 11 or our 13 or our 15, probably our best 13. So that's how you sum it up. And they're not good enough, and off they go, tail between their legs. And the English cricket will now, they've made some funny decisions. They made Flint off a captain. They made Peterson a captain. So, you know, they've got to have a real good look at themselves.
You know, the real Hoggy for me is yourself, because, I mean, I remember the 80s cricket, and I remember West Indies was an absolute powerhouse as well. What's going on with their cricket? It's not the best these days, is it?
Unfortunately, I can't sleep at night because of having to play against the West Indies in the early 80s, and they were frightening. Look, they're just not producing those sort of players, and, you know, to go out and face the West Indies now, it doesn't take courage. In those days, I couldn't believe, you know, our batsman Kim Hughes and all the boys that had to play. We played them 10 test matches in a row, and guys with probably ordinary, half-reasonable thigh pads, and probably the protective gear wasn't as good, and we played them 10 test matches in a row. So you wouldn't mind playing that mob 15 test matches. But having said that, I just reckon the big bloke, Gale, he's only done one thing this carnival, and New Zealand don't bat that well. Their strength's been their bowling. So they've got, I think they're going to play, New Zealand will probably play the West Indies. So they may knock them out, so you never know.
Looking at today's game, Australia v Scotland, what's your prediction for the outcome? Obviously, Australia going to a red-hot favourite.
I love that laugh.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to predict. Look, it'll be a prediction would be, I wonder how many wickets this the quick for Davey get. Well, he's got 14 wickets. Will he get any wickets today for Scotland? If you want to talk Scotland, Coates here, will he get, called Coates or whatever his name is, will he get some runs? But look, I reckon this is the most exciting Australian cricket team I've ever seen. And I know you go back to Warney and McGrath, but from the one day perspective, when Mitchell Marsh can't get a game, and you go to the, you watch the game today, or you go to the game, and you're thinking, will Warner get 100 quickly? Will Finch get 100 quickly? How well will Smith bat? Will Faulkner smash them around today? Will Haddon smash them around? Will Maxwell? We have got the best batting lineup from potential six hitting. I don't mean so much when Ponting and Damien Martin and all those blokes, it was a beautiful team, but we only had Gilly to hit the sixes. We've got about six blokes now who can hit sixes, and let's face it, one day cricket and T20 I want to see sixes hit.
And Shane Watson's turned the corner, do you think? Has he made everyone eat his words and he's going to hang in there?
Well, he is I think test cricket you can move him on from, but when it comes to one day cricket, he's got a batting average of 40, and what he's done now batting at 6, if we happen to be 3 or 4 down quickly, which the new ball can do, if we lose 3 quick wickets, we then know that we've got a good batsman. He's in the right spot. We know that we've got a batsman. You know, Maxwell, you wouldn't think, if we have 4 for 20, you wouldn't think Maxwell can turn it around, but you know that Watson can turn an innings in that middle order. So the side is beautifully balanced, and I'm excited about that Australian side. I think we're going to win the World Cup, having said that, well, it's not a big statement, is it? But having said that, the Sri Lankans the other night were pretty happy with our attack. They Sangakkara and his boys bowled us around. So it's a great series.
You know, Sangakkara, 4 consecutive centuries. It's never been done before. So it is exciting. So who does Australia play in one word, G-Man, in the final?
He might need
Am
two
I
words.
The G-man?
Yes, you are. You are the great man of cricket.
Oh, sorry. No, I don't think so. But anyway, Australia have got Pakistan, and Pakistan, and what they bring to the table, you never really know. You look at their team and you wonder. But I spoke to Shoaib Akhtar last night. I was trying to get it tracking down for a book I'm doing on the fastest bowlers. And he said, don't be surprised if Pakistan just give you a run for your money, especially their attack, a bit of an unknown attack. So let's see how Pakistan go. But you would have thought Australia. The big one is Sri Lanka playing South Africa in Sydney. Now, that is where Sri Lanka want to play South Africa. If it's a bit of a spinner's wicket, they've got Harris coming back into their team. So that might be a bit of a worry. There's some good games, but Australia should eclipse Pakistan, you would have thought.
Australia and South Africa, eh? We're going with that. Good on you, Hoggy. Thanks for joining us on the Dead Set Legends. We'll get you next week.
Thanks.
Manny Pacquiao. Mm-hmm. The Pac-Man versus Floyd Mayweather Jr., and it's the 2nd of May, and it says here the purse is upwards of $250 million.
Just cannot process that.
I know. So that means...
ridiculous.
What do they get? He gets $140 million. It might even be more than that, but let's talk to the main man of boxing in this state, Danny Green. He's on the line. G'day, Greeny.
Good morning, guys. How are you, Barra?
Are you excited about this fight, the 2nd of May?
Oh, look, mate, it's going to be crazy, and $250 million, it's definitely upwards of that. It's just astronomical, and there was always... It's bigger than the Super Bowl, the amount of money, the amount of TV rights worldwide, but in America, sponsorship, the gate, it's just absolutely phenomenal. And then a lot of report, because, you know, UFC, the sport's really taken off, and it's got pretty big around the world, or massive around the world, but... You know, when it comes to boxing, there's only one sport that creates this crazy hype, and they're only once in a lifetime for us, and this is it.
And there's only one time when Justin Bieber jumps on the stage and the podium. What was that all about? He's in Mayweather's entourage.
Is he?
Yeah, he jumped on when they were announcing the fight.
That's why we all want Manny Pacquiao.
Exactly. You said it, other than the fact that he's Filipino, so yes, go Manny.
I think Floyd's probably going to be victorious, so he's just...
You think, yeah?
Yeah, his skill, his longevity is, you know, is better than Manny's. Because Manny's been in so many wars, and that starts to take its toll at this age, you know. And Floyd hasn't been in as many wars because he's such a technically gifted fighter.
Yep.
He hasn't had as much damage, so I think Floyd will be victorious on points. It'll be a good fight, but I just think Floyd's probably going to be a bit too sharp.
Go to the end, you reckon?
I think so. Yeah. I can't see him knocking Manny Pacquiao, but you never know. Marquez put Pacquiao away, you know, in six rounds. It's what's so exciting, because you just don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just crazy.
Yeah, I love it.
As a boxer, when it's such a big fight, do you prefer to watch it at home and look at the skills and really get into it, or do you prefer to get caught up in the emotion and go and watch with a bunch of other people at a pub or something?
Depends, mate. I don't know, mate. It's a hard one. I'll probably prefer to sit at home this one and watch it, and I'd probably prefer to be sitting ringside in Las Vegas.
I was going to say, rather be in Vegas, right?
Yeah. You never know. I might get lucky, but it's probably, I'd rather just sit at home and have the TV up loud so I can hear what's going on. But really, the commentators don't offer much. It's more just want to see what's going on, and, you know, not getting pestered and annoyed, or, you know, while I'm waiting to go, what do you reckon, Granny? What do you reckon?
Mate, moving away from the boxing fight itself, you do a lot of great work with charity, but I'm looking out the window and it's a bit dodgy out there, so you've had to postpone your motorbike ride. Do you want to tell us more about that?
Yeah, mate, unfortunately, my Fighting Chance Foundation ride, we were scheduled for a ride tomorrow for raising money for young couch punch victim Mick Cleary and his family going forward, because he's got a lot of costs going forward, and poor bloke, he's been affected very, very badly for the rest of his life. And also money for going to food banks. So we have a motorbike ride, leads from Belmont Raceway, and we go down to Quinana Motorplex. We did it last year. We had 1,200 motorbikes rolling down the freeway in a 17-kilometre-long convoy. And, you know, WA police gave us a 100% ticket of approval the next day. And this year we expected, you know, over 2,000 bikes. And so now we've rescheduled it for April 12th on Sunday. So we're probably looking, we're going to have to increase the numbers of cannery we've got, because we're going to have more numbers by the time it gets there. So in a way, it's a negative that we've had to postpone it, because of the weather, which the safety of the riders is number one, guys. But hopefully it'll help us get more riders along there, more publicity, and raise more money for the great causes.
Yeah, brilliant, mate. So April 11th, we'll get you back on the show and you can tell us all about it again. And maybe Marto might even get on a hog with you. Oh, will you be on your honeymoon?
No, no, I'll be back. So next time you might see me greenie. I could be doing the motorbike ride as a married man. it might be a one-way trip.
We may not come back.
Well, you could put the missus on the back, mate. Have a nice Sunday cruise.
Oh, brilliant. You're a good man, greenie. Thanks for joining us on the Dead Set Legends for a bit, mate.
Thanks very much, Evan, guys. Have a great weekend.
This is going to be an interesting interview because basketball legend Andrew Gaze is on the line and he thinks that Damian Martin should have the year off.
That's exactly what he was quoted
as
saying. In the
left corner, we have Andrew Gaze, and in the right corner, we have Damian Martin.
Oh, Gazey, what's going on? Please explain.
Good morning, guys. My comments certainly got a lot of attention, but I trust you understand it's out of an absolute love for the game and wanting to see it prosper. And unfortunately, in the last couple of weeks hasn't been great with Townsville and Wollongong going into administration, and the prospect of a 16 competition makes it pretty tough. But hopefully that there can be some sort of resolution. But my proposal is that, or what I was suggesting is that perhaps we need to regroup and give some thought about the way in which the competition's run and see if we can't come up with a better model.
The NBL's obviously been through this before with a few teams going into administration. Yours truly was with Sydney Spirit when they folded. But what makes you think it might be worse this time round as opposed to 5 years ago?
Well, the primary difference is the number of teams. Graham Wade, the chairman, called me up after my comments, and where we differ is to say that I still think there is a lot of brand equity there. I think there's some fantastic things happening in the competition, and if you take the worst-case scenario and you proceed with only six teams, I believe that can cause some significant damage to the brand. And I know that there's some proposals and plans to move forward, but they are in the future. They're not going to be ready for this coming season. So if you have a period where you can go into hiatus, and rather than rushing through a Brisbane proposal or rushing through and trying to scratch away and get Townsville over the line and Wollongong over the line, let's take this time to regroup. And sure, it comes with incredible hardship to people like yourself and the owners and all those associated with the game. But is it not best in our long-term interest to say, well, let's find a model that's going to be more sustainable rather than trying to scratch our way through the existing situation and do potentially do far more damage to the brand where it becomes irretrievable?
But, Gazey, what about over here, mate? Because it's very hard for us to understand because we have the super successful Wildcats, most successful franchise in world sport just about. And you're saying let's have a year off, let's not see our Wildcats play at Perth Arena, which is magnificent. What about the brand damage there when the fans go, well, stuff you, why should we have a year off? We want to see our team.
And I appreciate that, and I believe that it would be an incredible tough call because the fans, and there's certain pockets, you look at what's happened in Melbourne this year, although they've spent a lot of money, you look at New Zealand and the success there, and certainly Perth is the one we all hold up and say, well, they've got the formula right. But ultimately, if it means that you're only going to play in a 3 or 4 team competition, then the fans eventually are not going to have a great game to follow and a great team to follow because their opposition is falling by the wayside. So, you know, we're hopeful that's not going to be the case. But I think we all concede, even those that are advocating that we must plough on, I think we all concede that there needs to be change because we can't continue to have a situation like we have over the past 10 to 15 years, and Damien mentioned the circumstances that he's been through, where we've got continual jeopardy about clubs and the existence of franchises. These things do enormous damage to the brand and the prospects of it growing.
Look, I think he's actually leaving out a little bit. He saw that I averaged a little over 5 points this year, and he's worried that if we go ahead, I might start chasing his 7 NBL MVP. So I think that's the real truth behind it.
Gazey.
No, Gazey, thanks a lot for joining us on the show and being so open with your answers.
He's closing them up
and chasing.
That's true. That little defensive wizard out there, that nuggly little point guard, I was just glad I moved on when he became a superstar because certain parts of my anatomy appreciate not having to go up against him.
Oh, brilliant. Good on you, Gazey. Thanks for being up front about it, mate, and we'll discuss it a bit more. Good on you, Gazey.
Thanks, mate.
Anytime.
Good on you. Good luck, Dan.